and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
We're on the threshold of a brand new year. All the pages are clean and all the pages are clear, and it is a new beginning. One of the poets said, "I see not a step before me as I tread out on another year. The past I've left in God's keeping. The future His will make clear. And what looks dark to me in the distance will brighten as I draw near." And I think with that kind of attitude, that kind of philosophy, each of us can face a new year with a challenge and with excitement, with a degree of enthusiasm and excitement. And I hope that all of us in the Central Church will do that. One of the largest automobile dealerships in our state, the owner told his salesman some time ago, he said, "One thing I expect of each one of you is that I want each one of you to be enthusiastic. I want you to be excited. I'm asking each one of you, let's be enthusiastic and let's be excited." I believe the Christian life is the most thrilling, the most exciting thing there is. And I believe that we ought to radiate that thrill and that excitement. Because as we do, I believe it will rub off and folks will get excited. They'll want to be a part too. We're thankful for those who are a part of this church and those who have lately become a part of it, and also anticipate in the weeks and months to come of those who will become a part of God's family at this place. I've had folks tell me that in the beginning of this year they're planning on being a part, becoming a part of this church. And we look forward with a degree of thrill and excitement to that, and trust that many will. But in our study today, the real basis of it, I want to share with you for these few moments together, is found in John chapter 6. Jesus passed over the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, and as He lifted up His eyes, He saw a great multitude followed Him. And He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Philip, being the realist that he was, said 200 pennyworth or 200 denarii would only purchase enough that each one might have a little. Now that denarii or that pennyworth was the chief silver Roman coin. We're told it was worth about 16 cents each. And so Philip was saying, "Lord, if we bought $32 worth of bread with this vast assemblage, that would be only just a little bit. Each one at that would have just a little, and that doesn't comprise a meal either. Most women don't want to run out of bread when they're serving a meal. They don't want to run out of rolls. They don't want them to be cold when their company arrives. I think one of the greatest injustices is to be late for a dinner. Women are usually lovable, understandable people, but they get disturbed when the rolls get too brown because someone's late. But 200 penny worth of bread would be just enough for a little. But the sixth verse says that Jesus said this to test them or to prove them because He knew what He would do. You see, the Lord wasn't asking the questions of them because He needed the information. But He was asking the question because He wanted to see what their response would be. I'm sure the Lord would have been thrilled to death, as we use the expression, if Philip had said, "Lord, I know that You're the master of all situations. And I know that You can do all things. I know that You can still the stormy sea. And I know that You can meet all needs." Philip didn't do that. Philip was the realist. He looked at it strictly, not from faith, but from a business standpoint. And he said, 200 penny worth, a denarii of bread would be just a little. They probably didn't have that much money anyway. But he was giving it strictly from the standpoint of dollars and cents. And that's how many of us operate. That is, we don't let our faith sometimes launch out. We, as Scripture teaches us, are to walk by faith and not by sight. But it's an easy thing to let ourselves be governed and regulated by sight. Now, I don't mean we're to be foolish. I don't mean we're to do something haphazardly. But I'm simply saying that we have to let faith operate. Do what we can do and leave room for faith. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There's a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Now I want us to ask ourselves the question today. It was asked there in verses 7 and 8 of John 5:6. What are they among so many? What are we among so many? Individual futility is the problem that all of us face. Every last one of us, no doubt in this audience, as we look at our lives, as we look at ourselves, and we think, what does it really matter? I'm just one single, solitary individual. And what does it matter whether I do what I can do or not? I'm not really going to be missed. I think that's the reason sometimes people do not attend Bible study, do not attend various worship services. They somehow think that I'm just one person. It really doesn't matter. I really don't count. I say to you this day that individual futility is the situation that all of us face. But each one of us needs to realize that regardless of how limited we are, regardless of how unimportant we are, that we really count, that we really matter in the world in which we live. And I hope that as a church, that each one of us as a member of this church will emphasize and encourage and promote that every person, regardless of who that person may be, is important and is somebody to God. Everybody's somebody. Jesus is Lord. But all of His children are important to Him. And I hope that all of us will so radiate that kind of thought and attitude in this church that folks around will want to have a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging to the Lord's family and a sense of belonging to this church, this local congregation. I read about a little boy. The story was written up some months ago in the New York Times, one of our great newspapers of this land. About a little boy that was one day riding the subway in New York City. And the little fellow was seated beside a lady on one side. There was another lady, a woman on the other side, then others across the aisle. Somewhere in the course of that journey, that subway ride, one lady on the other side, one side said to the lady on the other side, "I want you to keep your son's shoes off of me because he's gotten dirt on my dress." Well, of course, the little boy didn't belong to either one of the ladies. And he was disturbed, as a child would be. "Because someone acting this way, you have gotten dirt on my dress." But anyway, the one lady who was responded to in that way got to talking with the little boy. And she wanted to know, "Sonny, who are you and where are you going and what's your situation and so on?" And he told her his name and he said, "I don't have a mother and dad." He said, "I've been staying with my Aunt Mary. But I'm going now to stay with Aunt Sue. Because Aunt Mary says I've been at her house long enough and I need to go and be with my Aunt Sue." And he said, "I hope she's home when I get there." And he said, "I just kindly lost myself during this subway ride." And he had just kindly snuggled against this one woman. He said, "I just got to thinking that I really wished I belonged to you." And he said, "I forgot about my feet. And that's why, of course, I got my feet on the lady's dress. But," he said, "I just got to thinking, I wished I belonged to someone like you." Sense of belonging. I think the story of that little boy tells it. A sense of belonging. I believe that everybody needs a sense of belonging. I believe that everybody needs to feel important. That everybody needs to feel wanted. And I hope that every member of Central Church in 85 will let everybody that you know believe that you think them to be important. That they're special. That they mean something to God and they mean something to you. That they are important. And if we do that, and to the degree that we do that, there will be a lot of people who will be like that little boy on that subway ride that day. They won't necessarily snuggle up to us, but they will occupy those pews. They'll occupy these pews. They'll want to be a part of this church. Because they want a sense of belonging.
like that little boy, thought that woman. Never seen her before. There was something that seemed to be extra special about her. And he said, I wish I belonged to you. And I forgot myself with that kind of thought. I just wished I belonged to you. I believe that if we as Christians in this church exemplify the Spirit of Christ and the love for one another, and that everybody's special, everybody's important, there will be. There will be people who will want to have a sense of being a part of this church. Not because the doctrine is different from any other of like precious faith, but simply because there is the spirit and there is the attitude and there is the dimension here that makes it worthwhile, that makes it pleasing and acceptable to God, and as He would have of all of us to be, a sense of belonging, a sense of being special, of someone important. I talked with someone a few days ago, not a part of this church, but been in our assemblies many, many times. And I said, we are interested in you. We believe that you are like, are among the very best apples on the tree. We believe that you can be influential and helpful and beneficial to the Central Church. And we're interested in the finest, best people. We're interested in everybody. We're interested in all. But all of us working together can be stronger and better, and we can be more spiritual and we can be more pleasing to the Lord. A sense of belonging. And I hope that all of us will have pride and just joy and enthusiasm in the fact that not only are we Christians, but we're members of God's family here. And that we'll think of it as being very special. Don't minimize yourself. All of us are part of God's family, God's team. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are workers together with God. You're God's husbandry, God's building. I like that expression, we are workers together with God. That's what it is with all of us as Christians. We're in this business of working together. And we see so many working in such a marvelous and a great degree. Let's just make it more so. In the words of the song, we've only just begun. Let's let it be that way in our service to God. Oh, you may say, now wait a moment, we've serve the Lord for decades, fine. But I still say, we've only just begun. In the words of another song, He's still working on me. God's not finished yet. He's still working on me. And I'm glad He is. I'm glad God's still working on each one of us. Polishing the rough edges, smoothing places, and making us what He wants us to be. Not so much the way everybody else might want us to be, but the way God wants us to be. I saw a picture some time ago of a cat, two cats, and one of the cats was licking the other cat. And under the picture, the caption was, I like to be liked or appreciated just as I am. Just like I am. That says it really, doesn't it?
I like to be appreciated or liked as I am. Not to try to remold or refashion someone into my likeness, but to like them as they are. What are they among so many? I know that day, that boy's lunch, the 5 little barley loaves and the 2 fish, didn't seem like anything among that great crowd of 5,000 men. But you remember, as you read on in the chapter, that Jesus took that bread and the fish, and He gave thanks, and then began to break and distribute to the disciples, and they distributed to the crowd. And you remember the account that the fragments were taken up and there were 12 baskets full. Now what does that say to us? That says to us that whenever we say, "Lord, here I am. I don't have a lot to offer but myself. Here I am. And I'm asking You to take my life and I'm asking You to mold it, fashion it into what it needs to be. It'll meet the need." If each one of us in this audience will say, "Lord, this is my life and I want You to take it and mold it and fashion it, I'm not going to resist, I'm going to yield to Your will," He'll use that life and it'll meet the needs of 1985. It'll meet every situation we face and every problem we endure. It'll meet the situation. If every one of us here in the Central Church will do that, whatever our financial needs are in 85 will be met, surpassed in all other areas. It'll meet the needs of this community, that this church can launch out in its outreach of service. It'll be enough in God's hands, in God's care. As we let Him use us and mold us and make us, it'll meet the need, whatever the need is. That's why I believe we can be excited and thrilled about a new year, about a new beginning. We're important to God. And He can take us, just as Jesus took those barley loaves and fish and ministered to the needs of thousands of people on that day, our Lord can take our lowly, humble lives and He can meet the needs in the multitudes of ways. People there that we can benefit, we can bless, we'll just let Him. With that kind of thought, it makes me be able to walk a little bit higher, step a little bit more proudly, not because I'm anything until I'm in the hands of God. But in the hands of God, we count. And let's realize too that each one of us is important. And let's so radiate Christianity within these walls and outside these walls, that there will be dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people that in 1985 will determine that they want a sense of belonging, not only to God, but a sense of belonging to a church that loves and cares and ministers and considers them as somebody able to meet the needs of the day in which we live. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. Believing in the Lord, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized.